morning and welcome to Apple A Day. It's Lake Region Healthcare's health and wellness show where we feature news and information you can use to live a healthier life. I am Katie Johnson, your host, and my guest today is Dr. Stephen Moore. He is from the urology department here at Lake Region Healthcare and helping us highlight September as National Prostate Awareness Month today. So we're going to talk a little bit about this important health issue for men, which, of course, is also important for the women who know and care about men to understand as well. Good morning, Dr. Moore. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning.
So before we start, let's just hear a little bit more about you and your background. Tell us about your practice at Lake Region Healthcare and how long you've been here, maybe the general scope of services you provide as well.
Well, I'm currently a semi-retired urologist. I retired from full-time practice in June of 2023 and then started work as a part-time urologist with Lake Region Hospital in September of 2023. So I've been there, it'll be 2 years now, and have really enjoyed the opportunity to work with the staff at Lake Region. I conduct a clinic 3 days a week and then am in surgery 2 days a week. And I see a variety of urologic disorders, but prostate cancer is certainly and prostate diseases are certainly a big focus of our practice as a urologist.
I would imagine so. Why is it that you think Prostate Health Awareness Month is important, and what do you hope that men will maybe take away from having this really dedicated time to focus on prostate health?
Well, prostate cancer is the leading cause of cancer in adult men over the age of 50. It is a very common malignancy. Something like 40,000 men die of prostate cancer every year here in the United States. It is the most common urologic cancer that we see, and it consumes a big part of our practice as urologists.
Certainly highlights the importance. So for listeners who might not know, what exactly does the prostate do, and why does it become more of a health issue for men as they age?
Well, the prostate gland is part of the male reproductive system. So it's the purpose of the prostate is to produce seminal fluid along with the seminal vesicles, as well as sperm cells produced by the testicles. This fluid is very important for assuring that the sperm cells are able to traverse the female reproductive tract and reach the ovary for proper conception. So the prostate gland is basically part of the male reproductive system. However, as men age, the prostate enlarges to the point where it can often cause urinary symptoms. The urethra, which is the tube through which men urinate, goes right through the prostate gland. And as the prostate begins to enlarge in men, primarily in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, it can potentially squeeze off the flow of urine and create real challenges to the normal process of urination. It is also, like I said, the most common male malignancy in the United States and around the world now.
Sounds like beyond the idea of prostate cancer, there are just in general prostate-related conditions that might be pretty typical for you to see in men.
Yes. Men can often present with what we call lower urinary tract symptoms, or LUTS, L-U-T-S. And they consist primarily of symptoms such as slowing of the urinary stream, difficulty emptying the bladder all the way out, nocturia or nighttime urinary frequency. Sometimes men can also have what we call bladder irritative symptoms, such as urinary urgency and frequency, and sometimes incontinence of urine, that is loss of control of urine, primarily associated with urgency. In addition, particularly in men whose prostate is causing significant obstruction to the flow of urine. They can be more susceptible to getting urinary tract infections. And in some severe cases, the prostate can create a severe enough obstruction to the point where urine literally backs up into the kidneys, causing kidney damage and in some cases, total kidney failure. It is potentially a dangerous condition if not properly addressed and if patients don't seek proper medical care.
Sure. So are there any symptoms, you listed all kinds of them, that men are more likely to brush off that really should prompt a visit to a urologist?
Well, I think symptoms of slowing of the urinary stream and difficulty emptying the bladder are primarily, we call those obstructive urinary symptoms, and those are primarily the more important symptoms to be aware of when we look at men with and treat men with prostate symptoms. And you asked here, I think, further on about a potential red flag syndrome that should never be ignored. I think one of them would be potentially blood in the urine or frequent urinary tract infections or difficulty emptying the bladder. Mm-hmm. Sometimes these symptoms can be accentuated by certain over-the-counter medications like antihistamines, for example, or alcohol use that can potentially weaken the ability of the bladder muscle to properly contract and to overcome any potential obstruction from the prostate.
Let's talk a little bit about screening and prevention. At what age should men start thinking about prostate screenings, and what does that process look like?
Well, the American Urological Association, which is the professional society that we belong to as urologists, has conducted a great deal of research in this area and generally recommends that beginning at the age of 50, men should undergo screening for prostate cancer, which consists of a digital rectal examination of the prostate, as well as a blood test called a prostate-specific antigen, or PSA. PSA was initially discovered in the late 1970s as a particular type of protein produced by the prostate gland. And its original intent was not necessarily for screening of prostate cancer. It was to determine whether or not definitive treatment for prostate cancer in the form of either prostate surgical removal or radiation therapy, it would tell us if abnormally present, whether or not that treatment was effective. But in the late 1980s, after a seminal work produced in the New England Journal of Medicine, they discovered that in men with a PSA of over 4.0 in the bloodstream, they have a higher risk of having prostate cancer. And this was a very important work and really opened up the gates in terms of being able to detect prostate cancer at a much earlier phase. So it's been very helpful in that regard.
How do things like family history or ethnicity play into someone's risk level?
If a man has a positive family history of prostate cancer, and we define that as the presence of prostate cancer in a first degree relative, that is either their father or brothers, they are at substantially higher risk for prostate cancer, particularly if there's a history of prostate cancer mortality in men in their family unit. So in that particular setting, we recommend screening beginning at the age of 40 to 45 instead of age 50. So you ask about family history. Ethnicity also plays a role. We've discovered that prostate cancer in African-American men can potentially be more aggressive. And there is a higher risk of prostate cancer mortality in African American men. So ethnicity also plays a role.
I would guess it's fair to say that many men are hesitant to talk about urinary health and or sexual health. Are there things that you do to encourage more open conversations with patients?
Well, we just try to put them as at ease as much as possible with the realization that this is very important for their overall health. We do attempt to emphasize the importance of prostate health and the fact that if symptoms or signs such as an elevated PSA are ignored, there is a substantial risk of morbidity and mortality in their life. Many men are brought in by their spouse, which I think is a good thing, because they hold a special concern for their partner. And so that too also plays a role, but we do everything possible to put them at ease as much as possible with the realization that this is not something they need to be embarrassed about or ashamed of.
Yeah, for sure. Any advice you'd give to someone who's maybe experiencing symptoms but feeling a little bit reluctant to seek that help?
Well, I think it's important to emphasize that, you know, we're doing everything possible to improve not only their longevity of life, but also their quality of life. In many men, these urinary symptoms can be a real vexing and daunting experience for them if left untreated. In many cases, they can come down with urinary tract infections, serious fever, chills, emergency room visits, blood in the urine sometimes in advanced cases. Prostate cancer, if left untreated and potentially spreading to other parts of the body, can result in pretty significant morbidity as well as a higher risk of mortality. So it's very important that symptoms and signs be addressed to reduce and improve one's quality of life.
You know, the one extreme is that morbidity, but really quality of life is so important. Being able to just do the things you enjoy doing and knowing that a urologist might be able to help make that possible would be something that we could encourage men with. You mentioned often it's the partners or family members who do that. Any more advice for family members or partners in how they can support men in making their prostate health a priority?
Well, like I say, oftentimes the partners or family members bring the patient in because of the awareness that the patient's quality of life is significantly impaired, especially from urinary symptoms associated with an enlarged prostate. Many of them can't leave home for fear that, you know, they may lose control of their urine or have substantial urinary symptoms outside of the home with lack of ready access to a restroom. And so that can significantly impair a person's quality of life because they're not really able to get out and enjoy life. And nowadays we have very effective treatments in treating this condition to improve one's quality of life and get them engaged and back in the game again.
Yeah, that's the good news. That's the end goal.
Yes.
Key takeaway message that you would share with men to highlight Prostate Health Awareness Month?
Well, first off, you know, we talked about prostate cancer screening, and I know we didn't get into too much of a discussion about that, but there is a great deal of controversy and confusion surrounding the whole issue of prostate cancer screening. When it was initially discovered back in the late 1980s that if a man has an elevated PSA, you should definitely move forward with a prostate ultrasound and biopsy. If they have cancer, then almost everyone got treated. Okay. Well, nowadays, we know a lot more about the natural history of prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is generally graded using the Gleason grading system. This was actually developed by Don Gleason, who was a pathologist at the VA hospital in Minneapolis. And he received worldwide recognition for his grading process. And initially, men with prostate cancer on the Gleason grading system were graded on a scale of 1 to 5, with Gleason grade 1 and 2 and 3 tumors generally being pretty slow growing. But when you get up in the 4s and 5s, those types of cancers tend to be more aggressive and potentially dangerous. Well, to add confusion to the fire, nowadays, most pathologists believe that the Gleason 1 and 2 cancers retrospectively, probably weren't actual prostate cancers at all. They were more like precancerous changes. So theoretically, the lowest Gleason grade you can have nowadays, if you do test positive for prostate cancer, is a Gleason grade 3 cancer. And in addition to that, to add confusion to it, many prostate cancers have more than one grade. So, for example, a patient may have a Gleason score of 4+3 or 7, which means that the predominant Gleason score is a 4, and the next most dominant grade is a 3. Well, there's a great deal of press that has come about as a result of urologists back in the 1990s and early 2000s over-treating prostate cancer, because many of these prostate cancers tend to be very slow growing and non-aggressive, okay? Yet, when a man hears the word cancer, he thinks, oh my gosh, I've got to have this treated. Well, nowadays, particularly in men with a Gleason grade 3+3 cancer, in many cases, those cancers we know nowadays can lie dormant for a period of many, many years, sometimes 20, 25 years. So in many cases, those cancers don't even need treatment. But still, I think it's a good idea for men to come in and get worked up and evaluated to make sure that they don't have a potentially more dangerous prostate cancer that would warrant treatment. I know that all sounds kind of confusing, but that's the reason why there has been a great deal of controversy surrounding the whole issue of prostate cancer screening. In fact, the U.S. Preventive Task Force back in, I believe, 2007, came out with a statement against PSA screening because back then, so many men were being overtreated for prostate cancer and subjected to possible complications of treatment, when in fact they had the type of prostate cancer that wouldn't have killed them anyway. Nowadays, we know a lot more about the natural history of prostate cancer. We know, for example, that many of these low-grade 3+3 cancers can just be followed conservatively without the need for aggressive treatment. So, you know, certainly if you come into my office, I'm going to be very cautious about making sure that we don't create a situation where the treatment of your prostate cancer could be worse than the disease itself. So I think it's important that men have an understanding of this and that they don't need to be ashamed and they don't need to be worried that, you know, some urologist is going to recommend something as drastic as surgically removing the prostate or radiation therapy, unless that treatment is absolutely warranted by a high-grade malignancy. Secondly, there have been tremendous advances made in the treatment of prostate cancer itself. Nowadays, you may have heard there is a robotic laparoscopic approach to treating prostate cancer, which involves removing the prostate using laparoscopic instruments, which has resulted in significant improvement in overall survival, with far less in the way of potential complications and downside side effects, such as urinary dysfunction or erectile dysfunction. As far as where men can go to learn more about scheduling a screening for prostate cancer, as well as all of these issues that we've discussed here, I strongly recommend the American Urological Association website. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact website address, but if you just Google American Urological Association, you'll get a tremendous amount of information in terms of prostate health and screening.
I just pulled it up quickly. It looks like it's auanet.org.
There you go.
A-U-A-N.
I should have done my homework on that, but yes, that is the website, and it's a tremendous resource of information.
Thanks for all of that great knowledge, and again, for the good resource of auanet.org for those listeners that might want to learn more. Anything else you'd like to share before we wrap up today, Dr. Moore?
Well, one of the concepts that has evolved over the last several years is the process of what's called shared decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to realize that when patients come in, if you're meeting with a good urologist who's very knowledgeable of the subject, they're not necessarily going to give you a lecture on what to do. They want to get your input in terms of what's important to you as well, and what you know about prostate cancer and what you've been told about it, and making sure that you're comfortable with your decision rather than having it be forced upon you, which I think has been a problem in the past. Shared decision making is a very crucial aspect of prostate cancer treatment and recognition. So we want men to realize that they don't need to be embarrassed or reluctant to come in, that we're going to do the best we can to make sure that your quality of life is optimal and that you are appropriately treated for your condition.
Absolutely. And maybe would be good to mention a little bit more about the colleagues that you work with in the urology department at Lake Region Healthcare, who I know all share that commitment to shared decision making. Destiny Kanzemius.
Yes.
Maybe share a little bit more about her. And I believe Dr. Moncrief is the other urologist. Is that correct?
That is correct. Dr. Travis Moncrief has just joined Lake Region, and he is available on a part-time basis to work, I believe, up to 6 days per month, which has been very helpful because our clinic is getting very busy. And Destiny Consemius has been working as a nurse practitioner in our urology department for many years, very seasoned, excellent clinician, has a very broad base of knowledge and experience in terms of treating prostate disorders and other urological conditions in men and women. So it's really been a pleasure and a delight to work with her as well. We've got excellent nursing staff as well that have had lots of experience in working in our urology department.
Well, thank you again, Dr. Moore, for taking this time during September, National Prostate Awareness Month, to shed some more light on the signs and symptoms men should watch for, the things that those of us who support men can do to help encourage prioritizing prostate health, and just broadening our knowledge of what the PSA test is, the controversy maybe around it, how you use that screening tool, and certainly more about how the treatment of prostate conditions has advanced. It's all been great knowledge, and we appreciate you and all that you've shared with us today.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Dr. Stephen Moore and Katie Johnson on Apple a Day today, reminding you at Lake Region Healthcare, we are here for you always. Have a great day.